Anyway, the story was well known, continuing with Karl Popper. The story was well known to all who knew the political situation, and it was freely told by the few who were independent enough to do so. The best witness is Schopenhauer, himself a Platonic idealist and a conservative, if not a reactionary, but a man of supreme integrity who cherished truth beyond anything else. And my interjection, again, this is why I said that you can want to control we the people and that your worldview is authority, but you can be honest, like Bentham. Bentham was honest. De Tocqueville is honest. Hegel was not honest, and that's critical. So he's making the same point, that even if your objective is the opposite of his, which is an open society, you can nonetheless be an honest person. You don't intentionally lie. You say what you really think. So Schopenhauer's view of Hegel's status as the paid agent of the Prussian government is, to mention only one example, corroborated by Schwegler, an admiring disciple of Hegel. And by the way, Power hates to this day to see Hegel exposed like this. To this day, it uses Hegel as fertilizer for totalitarianism's rapid growth. So the sucker children of privilege can be conned into believing that they're fulfilling some alleged great historical mission. Power is all about conning the next generation. How else can they realize their vision? And this isn't just power from the so-called West. Remember that quote we read from the Little Red Book? Quotations from Chairman Mao, and we said, I betcha Kissinger loved that quote. It was a fable, which shows how a mission, a vision, if you transmit it to the children, it gets done. Which is why it is imperative that we start having our own vision. Continuing with Karl Popper. Returning to the problem of Hegel's political motives, we have, I think, more than sufficient reason to suspect that his philosophy was influenced by the interests of the Prussian government by which he was employed. Who was that writer who said, never expect a man to believe anything if his paycheck tells him not to? I'm butchering the quote, but that's held true over the ages. But under the absolutism of Frederick William III, such an influence implied more than Schopenhauer or Schwegler could know. For only in the last decades have the documents been published that show the clarity and consistency with which this king insisted upon the complete subordination of all learning to state interest. My interjection, and we're kidding ourselves if we think this is any different today. Do we hear Wallerstein on the airwaves, by the way? Huh? Hello? Anybody? I mean, I did hear him once real quick, last year's Left Forum, and they will replay Richard Wolff ad infinitum. But that one brief, those brief words of Wallerstein in the 2013 Left Forum, I've heard it played again, nary again. Come on. What's the problem? You're afraid of the notion that we are actually living in the transition, and he's straightforward about it. Let's see. Okay. The king insisted upon the complete subordination of all learning to state interest. Quote, abstract sciences we read in his educational program that touch only the academic world and serve only to enlighten this group are, of course, without value to the welfare of the state. It would be foolish to restrict them entirely, but it's healthy to keep them within proper limits. Unquote from Karl Popper, The Open Society and Its Enemies, and this one is volume 2. Healthy for them absolutists and totalitarians and philosopher, king, global statesman. This has been the conscious intent of the state from its inception, and a conscious intent, and this is the argument we began with enough legs to carry it, gets established as reality around and within us. That's what makes it insidious. And the conscious intent of the people to get free is catching fire globally. Now that we see that globally is the only way we can get free. Quote from Wallerstein, the main concern of every government in the world, from the United States to China, from France to Russia to Brazil, not to speak of all the weaker governments on the world scene, has become the urgency of averting an uprising of unemployed workers joined by middle strata whose savings and pensions are disappearing. Unquote from Emmanuel Wallerstein. Wallerstein is honest. Power is trying to get past this moment. It is imperative that we quicken our pace. The practice of scholarship has, for the most part, operated as a division of state. Yet, as with the state and its prerogatives generally, we reincorporate it in ourselves as we reclaim our leadership capacities and establish human freedom globally. We'll continue this discussion next week.